Grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, our blessed Savior, abide with you all. Our text for our briefer sermon this evening is found recorded in that same Psalm 22 and the first three verses. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet, you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. So far the word. Our crucified Savior, dear friends, Adam and Eve, joyfully and blessedly in communion with God, living in the lovely Garden of Eden. But then they sinned. Their eyes were opened up, and they grasped the seriousness of what they had done and what the Lord God warned about when he gave the command regarding the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of it, you will surely die. Happened. What did the Lord mean when he told our first parents they would die if they sinned? Well, of course, he meant that they would now be subject to physical death. Their days on earth would now be numbered, and all those born after them would have bodies with an expiration date stamped upon them. But there was more to God's warning than the physical death that would befall them and their descendants. Not just would their hearts eventually stop beating and their lungs cease functioning. Dust you are, and to dust you will return. But their relationship with the Lord, which was truly wonderful, intimate, loving, harmonious, and all other adjectives you can think of, beautiful, delightful, special, shattered. Adam and Eve were separated from the Lord spiritually, riddled now with fear and guilt, and troubled in their minds, knowing that they would never know the perfect peace of paradise with their loving God ever again. That is what death really is in its fullest sense, to be cut off from God. They have no hope of ever living in close fellowship with him again, and eventually, barring a divine Redeemer descending from heaven to our world to repair the ruptured relationship with the Holy God, spending an eternity far distant from him in the miseries of hell. And this Good Friday, three thoughts that we would share for our prayerful pondering and for our rich comfort and hope as sinful descendants of Adam and Eve. We want to consider the answer to the question, the Bible's answer to the question, when Jesus died, where in the world was God? Well, first, in answer to that question, and you know this, you heard it in our readings, God was nowhere near Jesus. God the Father had totally abandoned his Son, inflicting upon him for our sake. Yes, an excruciatingly painful physical death, so that Jesus' heart eventually stopped beating and his lungs stopped working, but then also that far more terrible fate of being God forsaken. And all this to repair the ruptured relationship that had existed since the fall between sinners and the holy God, so that we might now, through faith in him, once again enjoy a wonderful, close, intimate, as loving can be, in all the other adjectives you can think of, beautiful, delightful, special, beginning already here in this life, and then forever after, the life of the world to come. Jesus forsaken for us. God was nowhere near Jesus. He had forsaken him as our suffering substitute on the cross. Second thought, when Jesus died, where in the world was God? Here is a sublime truth, friends, to ponder this Good Friday night, soaring way beyond our ability as mortals to wrap our brain cells around. But it is blessed reality, clearly taught in the Holy Scriptures, that God, even while utterly abandoning his Son, was, in a sense, still with him, in that Jesus himself, as you know, was God himself and is God. This Bible doctrine is right up there with Bible teachings of the Holy Trinity and the virgin birth in its sublimity. This wonderful teaching that while God was mercilessly abandoning, forsaking his Son on the cross on Mount Calvary, yet Jesus is God, Emmanuel, God with us, and that is what gave value to his death there on the cross, so that it could be sufficient to pay the ransom price for the sin of Adam and Eve, of eating of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, for the sin of Noah, remember the story in the Bible after the flood when he got drunk, the sin of Jacob the deceiver, who tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright, the sin of David the murderer and adulterer, Simon Peter the denier, Saul the persecutor, and all other transgressions against the holy law of God of all the sinners of the world, including you and me. Even as he forsook his Son for our sake, inflicting on him the punishment we had coming, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and enabling us now by faith to once again enjoy a loving relationship, peaceful, beautiful, harmonious, restored fellowship with our God, beginning now and hereafter, then in heaven. The third thought, when Jesus died, where in the world was God? We read in our text the last couple of verses. Again, this is David foretelling what Christ would say and feel on that Good Friday. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. There's the God-forsakenness Jesus suffered for us. And it goes on, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One, Heavenly Father. You are the praise of Israel. Think about that, what that means. It should remind us of what Isaiah wrote in his servant of the Lord, the suffering servant of the Lord, chapter Isaiah 53, after he prophesied how Jesus would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Later in that chapter, foretold, he said that after the suffering of his soul, he, Jesus, would see the light of life and be satisfied. What does that mean? That the suffering servant of the Lord Jesus on the cross would be eventually satisfied. Now, he would rise from the dead 3 days later, and he would see to his great joy and delight, a great many souls in whose hearts the Holy Spirit planted faith in Jesus' sacrifice for them. So another way to answer that question, when Jesus died, where in the world was God? He was dwelling by faith in the hearts of his believers. He was with John and Mary and comforting them in the grief that they had as they were under the cross watching Jesus die. In the hearts of the disciples who had barricaded them for fear themselves behind locked doors. In the hearts of Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, who would come very soon to take down Jesus' body and put it in the grave. And in many more hearts working through the mighty gospel to create and preserve faith in the Lamb of Calvary and an abiding joy in this Jesus whom God sent from heaven to be our Redeemer, including you. You might say, where is God on this Good Friday? He's right here with us, blessing us through our contemplation of Jesus' passion and that love that he showed, and that while we were still sinners, he suffered and died for us. So that we might enjoy what? A relationship with God that is beautiful, peaceful, harmonious, delightful, and very, very special, starting right now in our lives as we serve the Lord here below in thankfulness, and then through all eternity. Glory be to him who loved us, washed us from each spot and stain. Glory be to him who bought us, made us kings with him to reign. Glory, glory to the Lamb that once was slain. Amen. We continue with the next reading. You can remain seated. Just then, the moment Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth was shaken, the rocks were split, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the holy people asleep in death were brought back to life. They came out of the graves, and after he rose, went into the holy city, where many saw them. When the captain who stood facing Jesus saw how he gave up his spirit, he praised God. This man certainly was righteous, he said. And when he and those watching Jesus with him saw the earthquake and the other things happening, they were terrified. He certainly was the Son of God, they said. When all the people who had come there to see this saw what happened, they beat their breasts and turned back. All his friends, including many women, were standing at a distance and watching. Among them were Mary from Magdala, Mary the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph, and Salome, the mother of Zebedee's sons. While he was in Galilee, they had followed him and helped him. And from Galilee, they followed Jesus to help him and came up to Jerusalem with him. Since it was Friday and the Jews did not want the bodies to stay on the crosses on Saturday, because that Sabbath was an important day, they asked Pilate to have the legs of the men broken and the bodies taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and then of the other who had been crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they didn't break his legs, but one of the soldiers stuck a spear into his side, and immediately blood and water came out. He who saw it has testified about it, and his testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth so that you too will believe. In this way, what the Bible said had to come true. None of his bones will be broken. And it says in another place, they will look at him whom they have pierced. We sing the next hymn.